The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
I speak to you in the name of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. We as progressive Christian people have been exploring for a while now the meaning of what it is to be on a journey with God as a progressive person. And understanding that God is in a relationship with us that is dynamic and is personal. And that has been the understanding of a lot of people of faith for thousands of years. The first reading this morning where we had Jacob wrestling with God by the brook Jabbok was this understanding that even though Jacob was a wounded human being, God was engaged with Jacob and had not sort of looked down upon Jacob and his frailty. That God was present in the frailty of Jacob and all human beings. And because in that sense of connectedness, God was present on the journey of the Israelite people. And God is present on the journey with us today. And we've been thinking about, as progressive people, how do we respond? And we've looked at three questions. What are we to be? Which is the question we looked at last week. And today, how should we live? And why do we sometimes fail to live in the way that we know that we're called to be? So how are we to live is summed up very easily. The ramifications of the easy summary is bigger. The easy summary is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our minds, with all our hearts, with all our strength. And the second is like it, we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Those are the two commandments which Jesus gave. Those are the commandments that we are to keep before us as we live our lives. So what does that mean? Of course, first of all, there's an implication that we are to love ourselves. That if we can't love ourselves, we're almost impossible to reach out and love others. And we've been talking for the last few weeks about how to get involved in loving ourselves. That God created us good, says that in Scripture, in Genesis actually, and that we are reflections of the love of God from the day we're born. And that somehow life sometimes takes that self-understanding away in our families of origin or other things happen to us. But we are on the journey of life with God, seeking to recover the sense that we are symbols of God's divine love for ourselves and to the world. The old saying is, when I look at you, in you I see the face of God. And it's very true. So while we're human, we're also divine. And we've been looking at that. So we are to love our neighbors in a divine way as we are called to love ourselves. So first of all, we have to make sure that we are loving ourselves. And sometimes we put ourselves down. We're self-deprecating. We live in a culture that says, look, you know, you have to be this, this, and this way. You'll listen to a TV for about an hour and you'll have 28 commercials telling you about how you can sculpt yourself and have fat taken off, or sculpt yourself and have fat put in places. This is how it goes. But that's missing the point. It's not about that look. We're not all called to be statues. We're called to be human. And that we have to love ourselves the way we are. And I know it's a challenge sometimes. Now, there are reasons for changing our body shapes and so on if we have a lot of problems. But generally speaking, be happy with how you are. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, just say, you know, I'm looking at the face of God. That's a challenge. But love what you're looking at. Whether you got the makeup on or the hair combed or the beard shaved or whatever it is, look in the mirror and say, or not shaved, whatever you want. Just say, I'm looking at the face of God. And I love what I'm looking at. Now, it takes practice. Because we live in a society and we've got messages from the time we're little that we're not okay unless we do X, Y, and Z. But we are okay. And we are the signs of God's love. Then we reach out and look at others. And we see the divinity of God in other people, but also in all other things. We see God's divinity in the animal kingdom. We see God's divinity in the fish of the sea and in the birds of the air and in the plants that are on the earth and in the sea. God's presence is everywhere. And we are connected with all of that. And we are called to love all as we love ourselves. So you can see why it's so imperative that if we are to be following as Christians on the journey, that the key is learning to love ourselves. For if we don't love ourselves, we can't love anybody else. Think back to yourselves when you were younger. Maybe even today. I don't know what you're doing. But remember when you were dating. Remember when you first were dating and you thought, oh, I look so ugly. I'm this, I'm that. How can anybody love me? How can anybody want me? How can I want anybody else? Remember all that teenage angst? Well, we have to get beyond it. We have to get to the point of saying, I am okay. I am lovable as I am, and in my I am state, I can love myself and I can love others. And it's okay to be in that position. And don't ridicule or put yourself down or hear all those old family messages. You're thinking too much of yourself. When I lived in Prince Edward Island, they used to say that so-and-so is big feeling. Anybody who's lived in Prince Edward Island has probably heard that phrase. Oh, so-and-so is big feeling. Well, that meant that they had a strong superego. And so people felt, well, that was wrong to feel okay about themselves. But that was a misunderstanding of humbleness. Humbleness says, I know I'm not God. Jacob knew he was not God. But we still have divinity within us, and we are the divinity alive in the world. We are to be the signs of love in God's world. And so the ramification of that is that when I reach out and see somebody else who's different than me, I'm still looking at the face of God. When I work with somebody who is an immigrant, when I work with First Nations, when I work and see others in my life, I've been a prison chaplain. I've seen some guys who've done some pretty awful things, but there still is a divinity in them. And my ministry always was to help them find that for themselves within themselves without having to adopt some phoniness, a phony face, but really take their mask off and find the beauty in themselves. It's also true with people who are in addictions. It's true with all kinds of people. And we have to proclaim that and take the risk as Jesus did and reach out even when it's not popular. That's why the Anglican Church has taken the stance that we must intentionally work at reconciliation with First Nations people. We did horrible, wrong, sinful things, and we have to overcome that. And we do that by taking risks, which sometimes agitates us. And we think, oh, why are we still doing that? But because we must do it as a sign of love, as a sign of reconciliation. And we will. So that's part of that living out of love. See, in Matthew 25, it says, in answer to who is my neighbor, what you do to the least of these, you've done to me. What you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And think about our own track record in our lives. When we've had attitudes that have been pejorative, have been putting down. And when we do that, we have not only been pejorative towards somebody else, but pejorative towards Jesus. For Jesus, as God, is in all. The Good Samaritan was a radical statement in his own time. Here was the person who was despised, who went and helped the one who was a Jew, when the Jews themselves walked by on the other side of the road, priests from the temple. And so the symbolism of the Good Samaritan is part of the sign of what we are to be as progressive Anglican Christians living in the year 2017. We are to reach out, to take the risks, and reach out to those who normally we might feel not comfortable with. I remember the first day I walked into a prison cell and heard the doors close behind me, clang. And I thought, wow, what's this going to be like? What is this person going to be like that I'm now about to sit with? And is it going to be dangerous? And I just remember sending a prayer and asking God to be with him and be with me as we worked in this intense situation in a closed environment. I'm still here. It worked out fine. God is with us, and if we see the divinity in others around us, that is understood by others because they understand our genuineness, our warmth, and our caring. But we are called to take risks, go beyond our safe zones as Christians, and to reach out. And even as others may not understand it, we are called to that. For we are servants of the universe. Not the universe, but the universe. One presence. God is present throughout all of creation. And we are with God and present in all things. Sometimes in that understanding, though, we can get arrogant. And the Tower of Babel, which sometimes we read and think, why was that? It was trying to talk to the arrogance of people, thinking that they were greater than God. Now, there's a new arrogance coming. I don't know how many of you have heard about this book, but it's called Homo Deus. And I've been reading it. I heard an interview, and I was fascinated by the interview. I listened to Ideas on CBC Radio. And this Jewish author, Yuval Noah Harari, I hope I pronounced it correctly, he is interviewed, and you can find his podcast on CBC Ideas. It was fascinating what he's saying, that the 21st century is a century in which human beings are thinking they can displace God. We're almost like back at the time of the Tower of Babel. And he makes some convincing arguments, though he has some holes in his argument. I haven't read the complete book yet, but I have read a couple of reviews and synopsis of the book. And the problem is, it's beguiling to think how we're overcoming illnesses and we're putting people on the moon and we put a star in the sky called the International Space Station and all these kinds of things. But we're not the creators of the universe. And we never will be. We're still a part of the universe. We're still a part of it. And we are never should get ourselves so overwhelmed with our own goodness. Because as long as there's hunger, as long as we are looking the other way with regards to global warming and some of the other universal issues, we are not anywhere near to understanding about being man as God, homo Deus. We have to not be seduced by this kind of an argument. Look and celebrate what we are doing, but make sure that we speak into the discussion as Christians. People who are in awe of God. People who are in awe of the fact that we are all called to be loved and we're all loving. In his book, he talks about how there's going to be this super class of people who are highly educated, and then there underneath is going to be sort of the throwaway citizens of the world. Well, you're not acting godlike if you can think that you can argue for throwaway people. No one is to be thrown away. All people count the same before God. And we must count all people the same as we interact. We may not like everything that people do, but it's okay even to pray for Putin. We have to have an understanding that all people of the universe, all people of the earth, are still under God, and that we are called to reach out. We have to make sure that we are not ourselves getting overwhelmed with our own goodness, because we are still servants of God. And we are still a part of God's creative plan. So I call us this morning to honor each other, to honor God, and to honor those around us who are different than us, but still to honor them, that we are all created people of God, and to honor all of the environment and all creatures in the environment, all creatures great and small. And I pray that as we receive the sacrament this day, that we redouble our efforts to know that we are created in love and that we are signs of God's love in the world, but that we're also called to reach out in love to all around us, on the earth and in the universe. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.